Hello friends, welcome to WeSchool. We are going to start a very important subject, that is investment management, part one. Friends, this part one is going to teach you various aspects about shares as an investment management tool. We are going to understand the basics of investing along with what exactly is a share, what are the different types of shares, how should you buy shares, how should you sell shares, what are the different investment management theories related with shares, and this will make you a very great expert in investment management when it comes to investing in shares, in different types of shares. So this is a beautifully designed subject into various chapters. There are 30 plus chapters, and each chapter will talk about different aspects of shares, right from the basics till the trading, till the theory, and finally as how you can make use of shares for your investment management. So today we are going to start with chapter one, which will talk about shares for investment. What are we going to learn in this chapter? The basic learning objectives of this chapter would be to understand the principles of investment, and it will also enlighten you about the different types of shares that one can invest in. Because when we talk about shares, it just implies there is only one type of share. But friends, there are indeed different types of shares and also the benefits of different types of shares. So based on your planning about investment, as to in what type of share you would like to invest, it is essential to first understand the different types of shares. We learn about safety of investment. What do you mean by liquidity? What do you mean by income yield? What are different investor categories? What are different kinds of investments? And then we will move on to understand the different types of shares, such as the ordinary shares or the equity shares, the preference shares, the cumulative convertible preference shares. So this intro chapter is going to talk about the basics of investments as well as the different types of shares. So before we move on to understanding the details about the shares, let us understand simple concepts about investment. So the very first question that comes into our mind is, what is the purpose of investment? Now here, friends, only have to understand very clearly the difference between savings and investment. When you have to invest, you definitely need to have some savings. And what do you mean by savings? Savings are the things that is left out after you deduct your expenses from your income. So in simple terms, income minus expenses is equal to saving investments. And when income minus expense is equal to savings, and when you want to grow your savings, you need to invest. So this simple concept you have to understand in mind. What is savings? Savings is simply whatever income you earn, from that you deduct the expenses, you are left out with savings. And when you want your savings to grow, you have to find different asset classes. One amongst there is shares, so that you make your savings grow with the help of investment. So if we have to understand what is the purpose of investment, the purpose of investment is to ensure your capital will not erode. When I'm talking about capital, it simply means the disposable amount, the savings which you have to invest, at least that should be intact when you invest that amount. So that capital should not erode. The second important purpose is to grow that capital. Otherwise, what's the use of your capital remaining same? The purpose of investment is to make your capital grow. And finally, when your capital grows, you create your wealth, you increase your wealth. So these are the three main purpose of an investment. Number one, to ensure that your capital will not erode. Number two, to make your capital grow. And number three, to increase your wealth. Now, having understood the purpose of investment, before one decides to invest, what are the things that are to be kept in mind by an investor? So what will a serious investor check before investing? This we can divide into before making an investment, after making an investment. So let us see what are the things we need to look before making an investment. Number one, the safety. Your capital should not erode. Number two, the liquidity. Even though you have invested, in times of need, that same investment could be converted into cash so that you can meet your contingencies. That is what we mean by liquidity. Number three, yield and yield income from the investment. One important aspect of investment is to grow your capital, and that is where the yield and yield income comes into the picture. And another important aspect is the value appreciation due to investment. Now, friends, there are two aspects to an investment. Number one is the regular income which you can create in the form of dividends, in the case of shares, in the form of coupon, in the case of bonds. But when it comes to growing your savings, one beautiful aspect of investment is share is your appreciation. The share value should keep on increasing, only then your appreciation of capital will happen. So if your company is good enough, which will take the share value to a higher extent, then that aspect should be considered. So safety, liquidity, yield, value appreciation are the four important things an investor should check before investing. Now let us look one by one into what each one of them means. When we look at the safety of investment, the first and the possibly the most basic question in investor mind is whether whatever I invest would be returned back to me after the period of investing, or if it's a maturity, or if it doesn't have a maturity, whether my capital that is invested is going to be safer. I will get it whenever I want. Gains are very important, especially when the amount is very large. So your recurring income as well as your capital appreciation has to be very, very certain. A wrong analysis can totally destroy the invested amount. A certain risk will always exist, but when you talk in terms of studying the market, studying the instrument, studying the company, then a calculated risk comes into the picture. Income correlates inversely with safety. As we say, higher the risk, higher the returns. If you don't want to take any risk or a moderate risk, then you have to choose such instruments also. For example, investment made in bank deposits can have lower risk and returns, but definitely they can be considered a bit safer than investment in shares. Another aspect while looking at safety of investment is loans given by an individual or a bank can have higher risk and returns. Greater the risk, higher the income. Hence, while looking at the safety of investment, the risk-return relationship needs to be balanced by the investor, which is very, very important. The people who are having a higher appetite for risk and going for riskier investments, whereas people who don't have a higher appetite for risk can invest into safer instruments such as the government instruments or the bank deposits, and there are various other deposits over and above the shares that we are going to talk about in this chapter. After understanding the safety, now let us look at the liquidity. Liquidity simply means the ease by which an investment can be turned into cash. As I said before, it's very important that whatever the amount invested, You should be able to use it whenever you require in case of an emergency or any such contingency. Only and only that investment will help you to get your money back. Then only it would be called as a liquid instruments. Extremely liquid instruments can give you your money back within a day or maximum within a week's time. Equity shares of company which are listed on stock exchange can give you such liquidity, because as and when you sell the shares, you can get back the money within 2-3 days into your bank account. Not so liquid investments won't give you the liquidity. Shares of private companies which are not listed on stock exchange, this are actually happening on bilateral trading. So whenever things that are listed on stock exchange, they are bound by the stock exchange rules. So you get the money very soon, within a day, within say 2 or 3 days, when you sell it on the stock exchange. Whereas in case of private companies which are not having shares listed on stock exchange, it may not be a liquid investments. Likewise, real estate, unless you get the best price you want, or even if you offer the property at a lesser rate, there should be a buyer. And even if there is a buyer, if he is having his self-finance funds, then it's fine. But if he's going for a bank loan, then that waiting period is always there. So real estate is also considered as a not so liquid investment. Similarly, investment schemes which are having a lock-in period. When it's a lock-in period, you cannot withdraw the money during the lock-in period. You'll have to wait. Otherwise, you might have to pay a heavy penalty on it. So this gives you a clear picture about what are the liquid investments and what are the not so liquid investments. So from these types of investments, in this chapter, we are going to talk about extremely liquid instruments such as the equity shares of companies. And note it, these shares are listed on a stock exchange. Now the third important aspect, after we see the safety, then the liquidity, now we'll try to understand the income yield. What do you mean by the income yield? The income earned on the investment determines the income yield on the investments. So as I said, when we talk about the income earned in terms of the shares, the dividend is one of the income earned. So dividend can be related with the income yield when we talk about investment in shares. It is prudent to remember a few points on the return yield, because when we talk in terms of the income yield, it has to take care of certain aspects which can eat out the income that is earned. The first amongst them is the inflation. The return on the investment should be as much, if not greater, than the rate of inflation. Because even if you earn the income, and if it is lesser than the inflation rate, then it is as if you can't do whatever things you want to do within that same income, because you'll have to pay more and you might not have that more, because whatever income you are going to get would be limited. So inflation is very first important aspect one has to keep in mind. So at least the return should be equal to and greater or greater than the inflation. Otherwise, that will be a steady depreciation of your capital. The second important aspect when we talk in terms of income yield is the appreciation. The market is likely to be dominated by the end user and their perceptions of the market. Higher the demand, higher the appreciation will go. So appreciation of an asset is booked when the asset is sold. So whatever investments you do should have good potential to appreciate in the future. So on one side, you will continue to get the income in the form of dividends. On the other side, your capital will keep on growing, appreciating, and whenever you sell it, you can get the appreciation in the form of the capital gains. So having understood these three important aspects, that is the safety, the liquidity, the income yield, can we have a perfect investment? The answer is no, because perfect investment can happen only theoretically. But when we talk in terms of the real market, the market is controlled by various factors, and hence there is no such thing as a perfect investment. Some may give high returns but no safety. Some others will give low returns but capital would be safe. The investor in choosing an investment will have to make his decision on which are the more important principles and then place his money equitably. So in one investment itself, you won't get everything that an investment can give. But based on his principle, whether he chooses for safety, whether he chooses for higher returns, based on that, he will have to choose that instrument of investment, and accordingly, he will fetch the returns out of that investment. So having understood these basic concepts of investment, now let us understand the different categories of investor. Investors can be placed into three categories: conservative investor, enterprising investor, and speculative investor. One can divide one investment into parts of conservative buying and speculative purchase, and can also become an enterprising investor. As we saw in the previous slide, it totally depends upon what principles or what are the goals of investments by the investor, and based on the principles and the goals, the investor can be categorized into conservative, enterprising, or a speculative investor. Now let us understand each one of this. What is a conservative investor? Conservative investor will always look at safety as the first priority. The objective of a conservative investor would be to preserve the capital, and if he can earn some income, it's fine. But safety is the extremely important factor for a conservative investor. They will not enjoy the game of playing the markets. They will never enter into volatile market. They won't like to take high risk, because high risk has the possibility of eroding their capital. Normally, such investors will make an investment and retain it for some time so that that capital is also preserved, and whatever income they can earn out of it, they can enjoy that income also. Who are enterprising investors? Enterprising investors like to take risk. They are not particularly worried about what would be the consequences of risk. The main aim is income and capital appreciation. When I talk about they are not worried, that doesn't mean they are doing gambling. They take some calculated risk, and within that, they aim at growing their capital as well as getting some good income. And that is why when we talk in terms of enterprising investors, they usually take risk. The third category of investors are the speculative investors. The speculative investor are very near to the gambler. Gambler is an extreme type of investing. However, speculative investor would also like to take certain risk. They believe in buying and selling investments in order to earn money or capital appreciation. They are usually a man who is in a hurry, unlike the conservative investor. Their attempt is to make as much as he can in a short time span as possible. So they will buy an asset, and as soon as they find they have achieved their goal in the form of profit, they will sell it out. So they always try to look out at opportunities which can create quick income from them. They are not really interested in retaining an asset for a longer period of time. So with this, we have seen three types of investors. Number one, the conservative investor. Number two, the enterprising investor. And number three, the speculative investor. Now let us look at the different kinds of investments. Investments can be broadly classified into very secure fixed income investments, secure fixed income investments, fixed income investments, and equity shares. So let us look at each one of this, what do they mean. When we talk about very secure fixed income investments, they are very safe. They yield a fixed dividend or return every year. The return is often lower than the rate of inflation, and hence the real value of the investments actually falls. The best example for very secure fixed income investments are the bank deposits. So people who want their investments to be kept safe and are willing to get a return lower than the rate of inflation, for them, very secure fixed income investments are the best choice. Then comes the next category, which is a secured fixed income investments. This type of investments are also reasonably secure. They pay a fixed return and they bear a risk of economic downturns. Possibility exists of their not being able to provide this return in a depressed market, because these are market related investments. The best example of this category are the mutual fund schemes. When we talk in terms of mutual fund schemes, sometimes they can give you higher returns, but when it's a depressed market, the returns can be lower. Then the third category is the fixed income investments. These are not necessarily very safe. They will give you reasonable returns. And the best examples in this category can be debentures or the corporate fixed deposits. So it is always advisable to invest into debentures, which are generally backed by security, or corporates which have a good track record of servicing the fixed deposits. If there are any history of defaults, then that should give an alert to the investors before investing into corporate fixed deposits. So this is the third category of investment. And now we come to the fourth category, which we are going to talk more about in this subject. That is a share. Before we understand more details about a share, let us understand the basics about the share, as to what is a share and who is a shareholder. A share represents ownership or a share in the asset of the company. So whenever an investor invests his money in a company, by buying a share, he will get ownership in that company in the proportion of the amount invested in the share. When we talk in terms of ownership, it also represents the share in the assets of the company. Let us understand this with an example. If a company has issued, say, 1 lakh shares, the face value is, say, rupees 10 rupees each. So each holder has to buy one share of rupees 10 to become the owner of that company in proportion to the number of shares he holds. So even if he buys one share of rupees 10, he would be considered as a shareholder. He would be considered as an owner in proportion to what one share is in respect to the entire shares that are issued by the company. So with this slide, we are very clear as to what is a share. Share simply represents ownership. A shareholder is an investor who buys the share of the company by paying the money which represents the face value or the buying amount for that share. So after having understood what is a share and who is a shareholder, let us understand more details about the shareholder. So, okay, a shareholder becomes the owner in proportion to the shares he has bought. What are the entitlement of a shareholder? A shareholder is entitled to the proportion of the company's profit, just like an owner is entitled to the profit. In this case, a shareholder will also be entitled to the proportion of the company's profits or even losses to the extent of his holding. So a shareholder can make important decisions in annual general meetings. Just like an owner, he can actually put forth his opinion in various meetings such as annual general meetings, special general meetings, extraordinary general meetings of the company, and have a say in the affairs of the company. Shareholder can also exercise their rights in the form of voting at these meetings, once again in proportion to their holdings. So there are different entitlements of the shareholders. He can actually enjoy the profits. He can make important decisions. He can also exercise votes. Now, let us understand the different types of shares. The first one are the ordinary shares, or we call also as equity shares. The second one is the preference shares. And the third one are cumulative convertible preference shares. We'll understand each one of them and try to understand the difference between each one of them. So first, what are the ordinary or equity shares? The holders of ordinary or equity shares are the real owners of a company, normally issued with a face value of either rupees 10 or rupees 100. Some companies have also issued shares with face value of rupees 1 and 2 to make themselves more affordable to buyers, because lesser the face value, a common investor can easily buy it. The shareholder bears the rights and enjoys the benefit. So these are the general shares which can be bought by an investor. These are specifically granting ownership of the company in proportion to the investments that are made, and the entitlement which we saw in the previous slide can be enjoyed by an ordinary or equity shareholder. In good times, ordinary or the equity shareholders receive large dividends and even bonus shares. So whatever corporate actions that are announced by the company can become an entitlement of the equity shareholder. If the company makes little or no profit in a bad year, they will obviously receive no dividends. So based on the profit earned by the company, the profits are distributed in the form of dividends or even bonus shares by the company to the equity shareholders. They are also entitled to vote and decide on the company policy in the various meetings called by the company. What are the consequences of holding an ordinary or equity share? In liquidation, they divide among themselves the asset left over. All others, including the preferential holders, have been paid. So the first part is for the preferential holders, and then the equity shareholders can distribute or divide among themselves the assets that are left over. The shareholders tend to lose their investments if there are no assets left over. The others have been paid off. So that can be one danger in case of liquidation. On the other hand, they stand to make a lot of money if the assets remaining are far in excess of their original investment. So this is a risk every equity shareholder has to bear. Investment in equity shares can be risky. Why risky? Because markets are volatile. If a company makes loss or goes through an economic recession, then the value of the shares could plunge. Alternately, if the company is going through a good time, the shares could soar, and the company can also declare very good dividends, the share price will also appreciate. So these are the two aspects of investment in equity shares which a shareholder has to face, and hence investment in equity shares can be risky. When we talk about equity shares, there can be two types of equity shares. The first one are the income shares. The second one are the growth shares. Now, what do you mean by income shares and growth shares? When we talk about income shares, they do not appreciate in value, but the dividends paid on them are high. So those investors who are interested in higher dividends, they can go for income shares. Whereas in case of growth shares, return will be low as the company would be reinvesting the bulk of the profits in the company in order to grow, and hence earnings of growth share is higher and hence the appreciation is higher. So those who are interested in growing their investments, definitely growth shares would be better. But those who want to fetch a higher returns in the form of dividends for them, income shares are good. Now, having understood equity shares, let us understand what are preference shares. Preference shares are not frequently issued. Preference shareholders have a right for fixed rate of dividends, unlike the equity shareholders. Preference shareholders are paid prior to the payment of ordinary shareholders, just in the previous slide we saw in case of liquidation. Preference shareholders do not have the right to vote at the AGM or decide on the company policy. Preference shareholders get the preferential treatment at the time the company is liquidated. So those investors who are not interested in participating in the affairs of the company, they are interested in sort of fixed dividends and some sort of priority in case of liquidation, then the preference share is the best investments for such type of investors. Now we come to the third type of share investments, which are the cumulative convertible preference shares. These were introduced with the intention of diversifying the market and reducing the dependence of the corporate sector or the public financial institutions. They are issued either to set up new projects, to finance expansions or diversification, to finance modernization, and to raise the funds for the working capital requirements. Cumulative convertible preference share is a sort of cumulative convertible preference share, which is a fully convertible debenture with a lower interest rate. So when we talk in terms of lower interest rates, the shares are cumulative to the extent that they have a right to a fixed rate of dividend. So when it comes to a dividend, like preference shareholders, they also are entitled to a fixed rate of dividend, unlike the equity shareholders. However, if a company has not made sufficient profits, then what happens in that scenario? The right to dividend continues and the dividend due will accumulate. So if it is not paid, it will get accumulated in the shareholder's name. And over and above this, such shares are convertible into equity shares after a period of time. That period can be 3 years or even 5 years based on what terms and conditions it was initially issued. So friends, this completes chapter one. And in this chapter, we have understood the basics of investments. We understood different investment categories. We understood different types of shares. And now we are ready to go into the second chapter to learn more details about investment management, primarily from using shares as an investment tool. Thank you.